The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
The Ride Home, a gorgeous spring day. Kath, good to see you.
Thank you.
You had a long, happy birthday weekend, did you know?
I did. I had just an exorbitant amount of celebrating that happened in the last 3 days.
It's necessary. I think it's
not over yet, John. I'll be honest with you. It's still going on.
Really? There is? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Did you have cake?
Forward to it. I did have cake. I had two cakes. You know, one cake was made by one of our listeners.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, a cake just showed up at your house?
No, a cake was given from one of our listeners to a friend of mine who brought it to me.
Oh, that is really nice.
Tawny,
nice.
God bless you and your beautiful chocolate cake. And it was gorgeous,
man.
And delicious at the same time. And I felt really honored.
Very nice. So you have two chocolate cakes?
No, I had a chocolate cake. And then the next day I had a coconut lime cake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very nice. And Did you get elastic pants?
I did not get elastic pants. I decided I'd go for a 2-mile walk today to try to get my body back into submission.
Very good. Excellent. Well, happy birthday to you.
Thank you,
I know
you,
that people
guys.
Jumped online on Facebook.
It was super fun.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah,
very good.
Thanks, everybody, for weighing in.
Very nice. Okay, take me out to the ball game. Are we any closer? Okay, now we're yellow. We've had our first weekend in yellow. There's a little weirdness out there. Some people are just kind of going, forget about it. I'm totally free.
Right.
Other people are still staying at home. I read today a friend of mine works in a dentist office, and apparently they're opening up. Have you heard about that?
I did not know that. I would like to go to the dentist.
Friend of mine. Yeah, I would like to get a 6-month checkup. Someone said to me, please pray for my daughter. She's back at work at the dentist office. So I was surprised by that. I didn't know some dentists. It's got to be all dentists. Some dentists are opening, right?
I don't think it would be fair to just let a couple.
No, right. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
You know, it doesn't seem fair. All right. But when it comes to baseball, I'm not trying to, you know, say that the dentists aren't important, because they're actually much more important than the baseball players as far as, you know, taking care of the populace. But our hearts are lessened because we have had no live sports in, it seems like, 10 years. It's only been 3 months, but still, it's so long. So the proposal's out from Major League Baseball. John, it details a lot of things that I had not thought of that, to me, are curious. Can I tell you a couple of them?
Curious? They're downright crazy. Yeah, go ahead, please. I want to hear this.
All right. So it seems like so these are the regulations that they're proposing to the players' union. The owners are saying no spitting. No sunflower seeds, mm-hmm. No high fives, no fist bumps, no hugging, no bro hugs. If you're the runner on first base, you can't talk to the first baseman, even if you know him. When there's a TV commercial timeout, you can't throw the ball around the infield or the outfield. If you are in another city as a player, you are not allowed to take a cab. You're not allowed to take an Uber or a Lyft, and you're not allowed to order any food from an establishment while you're there.
Whoa.
And those are just the ones that I can think of off the top of my head.
The basic things. Okay. So, I mean,
but I forget. You have a list there?
I don't. I mean, I've got, you know, some of those things, but, you know, all those things are sort of, you know, the basic DNA of baseball, throwing the ball around to each other.
Listen to this. You can't lick your hand if you're a pitcher. Now, some pitchers aren't going to be able to pitch. If they can't lick their fingers, they've done that since they were 9.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, no sunflower seeds, no tobacco, no communal water jugs, all that. High fives, fist bumps. What happens when a guy tries to steal a base, slides into second, third, or home, and they make contact there? What happens there?
That's a good point.
Someone's going to get fined. Someone's going to get yelled at.
That's a good point. Okay. Listen to this. Can I bring in a personal story?
Oh, yeah.
So Saturday was my birthday, as you mentioned, and my husband and I went to get a pizza. And when we came back to the house, there were people on my front porch. Now, as you can imagine, there hasn't been anybody on my front porch in about 90 days, right? So at first I thought, is someone robbing us? But then I thought, no, wait, they look familiar. And it turned out that it was a socially distant surprise. My husband had engineered this. Some friends of ours came over and surprised me and said, hey, happy birthday. We were all out on the front porch. I was so shocked, John, because I have not seen anybody in person in 3 months other than you and Mike every day on Zoom.
That's sad.
That I ran up to my front porch and I hugged everybody.
What?
Now, this is a complete violation of everything. This is not socially distant when you're going up and hugging people. This is, but the reason I bring it up is I was so surprised in the moment and so happy to see my friends that I forgot all the regulations and I just did that. Now, that is going to happen in baseball all the time.
Sure.
If somebody hits a grand slam, you think nobody's going to hug them? I mean, it's just like there are certain human responses that you should know better, but in the moment you forget and you just go ahead and do what's natural.
We are hardwired for contact, so our brain skips a beat and we come together, right?
Right. Now, I'm not saying, by the way, that anybody should do what I do and go hugging people. I just thought it was so ironic. As soon as I did it, I thought, what am I doing? Like, I'm an educated person. We do Diggly readings on the coronavirus. I understand how it's spread, but even though I knew all those things, John, in the moment, totally forgot.
Because your mind really wants to connect, right?
Yeah.
Especially people you haven't seen for a long time. I mean, you're not even thinking about it. And that's the
first thing, you know, you say yes and you don't even, it wasn't like I took a moment to assess the risk.
Right. Okay. That's a really good point because our first guest in just a few minutes is going to talk about when did Americans agree to this national lockdown? Mm-hmm. And have we been sold effectively a bill of goods? The nation is raging in a debate, and any conversation we had about us coming together to combat the coronavirus, that is long since gone. It has polarized people, both left and right.
I can't stand it.
And we're going to talk with Jay Richards about that in just a few minutes, about American liberties and what is right and good in our battle for safety and security.
All right. That's coming up next. Dr. Jay Richards from the Discovery Institute. We'll talk about that nicely and kindly as we hear each other's opinions. Right, John?
Yes. You can also log on Facebook as well. The Ride Home with John and Kathy on Facebook. Leave your comments and check us out. Back in a few.
101.5 WORD.
So, yeah, things are a little weird right now. So at Word FM, we offer a little bit of normalcy to your life.
Inspiration will not be canceled. Conversations will not be canceled. The good news of Jesus will not be canceled. Hope will not be canceled.
Use your smart speaker to stay connected.
That's a smart choice.
101.5 WORD.
Always open for encouragement.
Worried about deductibles and copays, dental or vision? How about elective procedures? Marley Financial, they've got you covered. This is Kathy Emmons. Marley Financial is now offering a new health savings account that can be used for anything health related, anything. Copays and deductibles, any prescription, even elective procedures. Marley's new turbocharged health savings account can set you free of high premiums and out-of-pocket expenses. There's even a company matching component that can provide 2 or even 3-to-1 benefits. And because it's a contribution, not a premium, your value stays with you for the rest of your life. And if you recently lost your job and your health benefits, Marley has programs to get you the coverage you need when you need it most. Call Marley Financial today, 724-884-1496, and ask about their new turbocharged health savings account. That's 724-884-1496, Marley Financial, the most innovative agency in the marketplace at marleyfg.com.
Your teeth can't remote into the office or remain socially distant, and dental emergencies won't wait to flatten the curve. The good news? While Stock Family Dentistry remains closed for routine care, they are open for emergencies, going above and beyond the norm to provide a safe, sanitary environment, pre-screening, and seeing only one patient in the office at a time. Stock Family Dentistry on Perry Highway in Wexford, where exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care. At StockFamilyDentistry.com.
Finding the right type of care for your loved one can be a highly emotional decision. Moving your loved one to a nursing home, rehab center, or independent care may not be necessary. XL Home Care can provide a warm, family-like environment with an XL caregiver, or you may even qualify to get paid to take care of the ones you love. To learn more, call 412-212-8950, 412-212-8950. Excel Home Care, a help at home company.
Moms sure do wear a lot of hats, and these days she's wearing a few she hadn't expected, like homeschool teacher, mask maker, hand washing enforcer, social distance shopper, toilet paper finder, parent checker inner, screen time negotiator, personal space administrator, and make sure everyone's happier, safer-er, and healthier-er. And to help you appreciate her, Trinity Jewelers is now open. Like hats, the best gifts are unexpected. At TrinityJewelers.com.
Okay, so Pennsylvania, at least portions of Pennsylvania, Allegheny County, has moved into the yellow zone. And yes, over the weekend, you could see it. There was an increased amount of activity. Certainly, you know, people were out congregating. People were in parks. Slowly, there was some sort of looking like normalcy here in western Pennsylvania. So I guess it begs the question, what about this lockdown? What happens as far as, you know, Governor Wolf and the green zone? How far away are we from that? And what about people who have died? You know, almost 90,000 people. What does that look like? Well, Jay Richards is with us. He wrote a piece at The Stream, which is a website we love and follow. And the title is, Why Did Americans Agree to a National Lockdown? Jay Richards is the executive editor of The Stream. He's a research assistant professor in the Bush School of Business at the Catholic University of America, a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute. Jay, welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you.
So, Jay, the president said on March 31st, we're at war with a deadly virus. Success in this fight will require the full, absolute measure of our collective strength, love, and devotion. It's very important. Each of us has the power through our own choices and actions to save American lives and rescue the most vulnerable among us. So, as you write, that's powerful stuff.
It is powerful stuff because notice it's not saying, okay, look, the government's going to force you to stay home. It's going to force you to tell you that you need to wear masks. You're going to maybe lose your job for your own good. The president said, look, we want you to do this for the good of other people, and in particular for the vulnerable in the population, for elderly people, for sick people. And this is why I think initially there weren't protests like you would otherwise expect. We've never done anything like this in American history, nothing like this. And yet, even 2 months out, of course, there's sort of pockets of protest, but the majority of the population still supports it. And so I think that was sort of perplexing to me. I think maybe you guys know I was deeply skeptical of the computer models on which the president made his decision. He thought he had been told by two very smart people, as he said, that maybe 2 million Americans would die if we didn't do this. It's not true. We know it wasn't true. And now we're sure of it. And so what we did is we came up with a strategy that the president was told would help prevent that many deaths. And so that was what was sort of perplexing to me, was to say, gosh, why wasn't there more of a protest over the way in which we did this? And I think it's honestly because it appealed to the better angels of our nature. It's one thing to be told you have to stay home for your own good. It's another thing to say you need to stay home to help other people.
Right. So this was for the common good, right? I mean, it was for all of us, all of society, both rich, poor, healthy, and non.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the thing that we often miss. I had some friends that said, well, why are we all such cowards? I can't believe we're all scared of dying. But, you know, and I think that's true for some people. They were really terrified. And I think that's still true that a lot of people are worried about themselves. But very quickly, we knew that, okay, this virus can be deadly, and it's, in fact, can be quite dangerous for older people that have so-called comorbidities, so problems that sort of compromise them. In any case, it's actually much less dangerous for young kids. A young kid is more likely to die in a car wreck or from the flu than from the coronavirus. So we knew that within a few weeks. And so that's why I thought, no, we need something other than just everyone being a coward to explain this. And I really think it was this appeal to the common good. That has, I think, in some ways more power to restrain us than appeal to our baser natures. And I really think that's what's happened.
Right. And Jay, I think that's a good thing. Are you saying that you think that that's a bad thing?
No, I think that is a good thing. That what I think is a bad thing is if what we were told turns out not to have been true. So you guys know I wrote Money, Greed, and God. I've written several books about the way in which our good intentions can be used against us. So that's always the danger. And my worry now, for instance, if you remember, the lockdown initially was supposed to last for 15 days to flatten the curve. That the argument was that, look, the area under the curve is the same either way. So the number of people that catch the virus eventually are going to be the same number. And so what we want to do is spread that out so we don't overwhelm the hospitals and increase more deaths. Well, there was a logic to that, but the logic lasted for 2 weeks. And then what actually happened is we built tens of thousands of extra hospital beds that went empty. The healthcare sector is now actually in a recession, if not in a depression. So the original argument over flattening the curve is over, and it's been over for 6 weeks. And so the question is, why exactly are we still forcing healthy people to stay sheltered in place in many places in their home? There isn't an argument for that, because either everybody's going to catch it or not. And so at this point, I think what we're doing is we're just sort of still accepting it on the assumption that somehow we're saving lots of lives. When actually that argument about saving lots of lives, that was over 6 weeks ago. The sheltering in place logic no longer holds.
Dr. Jay Richards is with us, executive editor of The Stream, a research assistant professor in the Bush School of Business at Catholic University of America and senior fellow at the Discovery Institute.
Jay, tell us what state you're living in and how things are there.
I live in suburban Washington, D.C., but actually in the state of Maryland, just north of D.C., still inside the Beltway. And so our governor on Friday actually started loosening things. It's kind of like it's happened in Pennsylvania, but two of the counties, including one that I live in, have maintained the shelter-in-place order. So basically the two counties closest to Washington, D.C. are still under shelter-in-place orders, and so everyone's doing more or less what we've been doing for the last couple of months.
I see.
Jay, from what you've said, it seems as if I have a little bit more compassion for governmental leaders than you do. I guess I feel like I've put myself in their position, and I think of how unknown the future was, how little was understood about the clinical pattern of this disease, how much is still not understood about the clinical pattern of the disease. And I feel grateful that we have a situation where there are governmental leaders that wanted to save lives, but you see it differently.
I do. The problem isn't that I didn't want government leaders to save lives. The problem is that anything you do has consequences. And so there's lots of things you do that we think are saving lives, but you have to ask, okay, at what cost? And so there are lives to be lost on either side. So if you say, let's have a policy in which we end up saving 60,000 people, but the long-term consequences is to kill 400,000 people, that's a dumb thing to do. And that's what I think has actually happened. I'm not saying that, you know, we should hold up politicians as vicious. I think especially the president and governors, he looked at polls and said, okay, 85% of the population thought we needed to have a lockdown. It would not have been viable for him to do anything differently. I think we still have to step back and say, okay, why did they make that decision? And was it well considered? Well, we know they made the decision based on speculative computer models that were complete junk. We were never in danger of having 2.2 million people dying. And I think we'll actually know that 2 months from now. And so now this is why I think governors are long after the fact of the argument for flattening the curve are still doing this. And it's because in some ways it would be an admission that, okay, maybe our reaction wasn't so great. But we're looking at 30 million jobs lost. That's 100 million people, almost a third of the population now, are in sort of economic straits. That's just the beginning. We're going to be dealing with the economic consequences of the shutdown for 10 years. I'm not talking about the kind of voluntary social distancing that we all did. I'm talking about that sort of mandated government shutdown. And when you look at countries like Taiwan and Sweden, it turns out the catastrophe didn't happen. And so that's just kind of the reality that we're going to spend the next several months dealing with. And so the question was always not money on one side, lies on the other. The question is whether the shutdown itself could end up having costs that were greater than the benefits. That's what I'm worried about.
Right. So here we are, Jay, like you, right? We're in some partial flow. What do you see happening here? I mean, are restrictions going to be eased at some point where their society is now able to just go? But that's going to be a long time, isn't it?
Well, I think, I would be really, really surprised if we had this conversation in August and it was still happening. I think what's actually happening is that the shutdowns in the states will continue as long as the population consents to it. So a state can't, 50% of the population just decides, okay, this is silly. I'm going to go about my business. Then nothing actually happens. At the moment, what's happened is that there's been an agreement between the government and the population for the most part. But if 200,000 people decide to go to the beach in Maryland, then, it's going to be what it is. And so I think as that people start realizing, okay, what actually happened in Sweden, what's happened in Brazil, what happened in Taiwan and Japan, why are we still doing this in the middle of the summer? At that point, I think even if governors are saying, okay, there's a lockdown order in place, it just sort of, it ends with a whimper rather than a bang. And that's what I suspect will probably happen.
Dr. Jay Richards with us, executive editor of The Stream. Jay, I'm sure you've read the same things I've read, the reports from the front lines and the hospitals in New York, physicians, nurses, et cetera. We saw the videos and we heard the firsthand accounts of people who were medical workers in Italy. That's what people are afraid of. I understand that the models were inflated, but I don't think anybody knew the models were inflated at that point. I think people were reading and hearing what was going on and they thought, I don't want that in my city.
No, I think that's exactly right. And I do think that that's what everyone thinks. The problem was that there wasn't actually any good reason to think that, for instance, New York and Northern Italy were in any way representative, maybe for a couple of weeks or something like that. That's exactly what people think. I do think there's a strong incentive on the part of the media to panic people so that if you have someone like the head of the World Health Organization that was all in on the panic, he's elevated, whereas if very smart epidemiological experts from Stanford Medical School say, look, there's no reason historically to think this is going to happen, they were ridiculed. And so I honestly think the media's attempt to stir panic is actually part of the story, unfortunately. But the reality is there are certain places that were really hard hit. New York, for instance, I think both because of its latitude and because of population density, was really hard hit. But notice the variation that you have. So there's some states that never had a lockdown, places like Oklahoma, in which their deaths per million people were very, very low. And then some places that had lockdowns, like Michigan, in which their deaths per million were actually really, really high. It's a complicated thing. And so I'm inclined to be more forgiving, certainly politicians for the first few weeks. But after we figured out what was going on, the fact that there's been this hesitation to let people that are healthy go about their lives, I think at some point they're responsible for their actions. We know a heck of a lot more now than we did 6 weeks ago.
Right. So I think what you're saying, I believe, is going to happen. I mean, being out a little bit yesterday, you saw people, at least we saw people walking around freely, most people congregating without masks on, that citizens are going to take this into their own hands and do what they choose to do. Now, whether or not there's going to be a rise in deaths or more illnesses, I guess that remains to be seen. But I mean, politics notwithstanding, you can't, sort of quarantine everybody for months on end. Like you said, I mean, August, how's this all going to shake out? You're saying it's going to shake out with a whimper.
Yeah, I think probably so. And I mean, I think the way that we test this is look and see what actually happens. Remember, just a few weeks ago, we were told that Georgia and Texas were going to have massive deaths and we're going to reverse course. Well, they haven't had that. What's happened is that they started reporting an increase in cases. So I just encourage your listeners, notice what the media does. As the actual death numbers go down, the media will start talking about an increase in cases, which is entirely meaningless because the number of cases that are confirmed is based on how many tests are being done. And so if you double the amount of tests, you're going to double the amount of cases. And so that's sort of a sign that actually it's working and it's not a disaster. It's when the media starts talking about an increase in cases and quits talking about deaths.
Okay, so the better metric you're saying is just number of deaths?
Number of deaths per million people. So number of deaths by itself, that doesn't tell you because you've got a lot of people, you're going to have more deaths. The thing you want to look at is the number of actual deaths and deaths that are actually directly tied to it, not inflated, per million people. That's how you can, that's the best way to compare different parts of the country, different cities and states, and especially countries with each other. That's really the best metric to look at. Ignore cases because that's all that is an artifact of how much testing is being done. So the better we are at testing, the more cases that are we're going to have, unfortunately. That's just how it works.
Hey, Jay, we need to step away for a few minutes, but can you stick with us for a little bit? I'm interested because you're an economist about the economic weight that we're going to follow through here. You're talking about at least the next 10 years or so. Would that be okay to stick around?
Yeah. Sure thing.
Oh, fabulous. Stick around. Jay Richards is with us. He's been a regular on our show over the years. He's the executive editor at The Stream. And our conversation continues here with Jay in just a few minutes.
This is Kenny Woods. Today, you can send a new believer her very first Bible in her own language and at a level she can understand. Before last year, Malia in Sri Lanka had never heard the name of Jesus. Now, she follows him and is determined to share Christ with everyone she meets, even those in the grips of spiritual darkness who are hostile to the gospel. But she needs her own Bible. How neat it will be to share with your family that you've sent God's word to someone like Malia in Asia. By giving now, you'll also help us meet our shared goal with Bible League of sending 5,000 Bibles to Asia. All it takes is $5 or $500 to send 100 Bibles. Call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YESWORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give at wordfm.com. Thank you for caring.
Buying a Bible, giving a Bible to somebody is the greatest gift you can give somebody in life.
Let's welcome Jeremy Camp.
Hope Comes Home with I Still Believe. You can download it now at watchsalemmedia.com. From the creators of I Can Only Imagine comes the uplifting true life story of Christian music megastar Jeremy Camp.
I'm supposed to be with her. I can't explain it. I just know that.
Jeremy's hope and faith are put to the test when tragedy strikes.
You're going to be healed.
What if I'm not supposed to be healed?
Don't say that.
I Still Believe is an incredible story of musical stardom, the heights of love, the depths of loss, and the healing power of the human spirit. One love can change your life.
You chose willingly to walk into the fire with her. That's what love is.
Witness the true story of Christian music star Jeremy Camp and his journey of love and loss that looks to prove there is always hope. Starring KJ Apa, Britt Robertson, Gary Sinise, and Shania Twain. Own I Still Believe on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital now from Lionsgate at WatchSalemMedia.com. That's WatchSalemMedia.com.
Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, a partner you can trust in times of need, featuring 24-hour emergency service. From plumbing, heating, cooling, and trenchless sewer repairs, Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling has been a trusted name for over 35 years when it comes to helping you solve household problems and concerns. Visit greaterpghplumbing.com or call 412-223-2560. Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling at greaterpghplumbing.com.
Need to manage a changing workforce? It's time to get to know Express Employment Professionals. Visit expresspros.com to find one of over 830 locations to help support your workforce needs.
101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh. On your smart speaker by saying, play the word Pittsburgh. And on your phone via the Word FM mobile app, iHeart, TuneIn, and at radio.com.
Tonight, mostly cloudy and breezy with a low 56. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy and breezy still with a high 67. Tomorrow night, breezy in the evening, otherwise overcast with a low 49. Wednesday, breezy in the morning, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high 63. And Thursday, cloudy with a few showers and a high 69. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Gregory Patrick.
Jay Richards is with us. Jay has written a piece at The Stream. Did Americans agree to a national lockdown?
All right, Jay. So we've had a lot of people weighing in on our Facebook stream. And if you're listening to the program and you'd like to watch it, you can do that on Facebook, 101.5 Word FM or The Ride Home with John and Kathy. All right. Here's a comment from Tom. He says this. Wait, and now as soon as I say that, it's gone away. Okay, I feel we're grown men and women and we need to educate ourselves and make up our own free minds. The information about coronavirus is online and it's pretty much just the flu. What do you say? Jay?
Well, it's okay. So it's not the flu in the sense it's not the same virus. In fact, they're different kinds of viruses. Influenza is actually not a coronavirus. The question is, how is it similar to the flu? Well, it is similar in several ways. One is that, of course, it's a respiratory virus. We almost certainly transmit it in the same way. The other thing is that, just in terms of number of deaths, you know, in the United States, we look at, you know, gosh, 70, 80, 90,000 people dying of this. That's terrible, except we need to put it in the context of the fact that people are dying every day of something. And so in a really bad year, we can have 80,000 people whose deaths are attributed to the flu. This year, a lot of people are dying of this new virus. The question is, okay, if we didn't have this, is that a lot of the same people that would otherwise be dying of the flu? And at the moment, I think it's kind of an open question. And so when people compare the coronavirus or the disease, COVID-19, to the flu, I think that's what's going on. The point is that we live with that every year. We live with the fact that many of us die on the highways. We die of heart disease without a national panic in which the reaction could do more damage than the thing itself. And I think that's the kind of key comparison, is we want to say, okay, you don't want a response to something to be worse than the thing you're trying to solve. And we could have panicked, for instance, about the Spanish flu, which was utterly catastrophic in 1918. There have been several, actually, flu pandemics, including one in the 1950s, that killed lots and lots and lots of people. And we didn't have anything like this. What we have now is tens of thousands of people dying of a viral infection, plus a massive hit to the economy that's largely the result of the shutdown. That's, unfortunately, I think what we're going to have to deal with.
So, Jay, people say, well, the reason there weren't that many deaths is because we did lock down.
Right.
Well, it's an unfalsifiable claim, of course. I mean, this is the dilemma, is that, well, we saved all these lives because of the lockdown. The problem is, if you actually look at the data, look at when things started leveling off, it doesn't correlate in any of the states to lockdowns. Remember, different states locked down at different times. And so you can do this. In fact, I do it with a co-author in a book we're working on now, in which you just mark, okay, where did the lockdowns happen in different states? And when did the declines in cases and deaths start? If you didn't know where those dates were, you'd have no idea when the lockdowns happened. So in other words, whatever was happening with the virus, it was completely indifferent to government lockdowns. What I suspect happened is that people's voluntary activity, as soon as they heard there was a virus, actually made most of the difference. And then the lockdowns, where healthy and sick people were forced to shelter in place, either made no difference at all or maybe even was harmful. Nobody wants to hear that. We don't want to believe that these policies that were so costly and painful might not actually have done anything. But I think that's where the evidence is. And there's no correlation between countries, for instance, that had major lockdowns and ones that didn't, in terms of what actually happened with the virus. I think what's happening with the coronavirus is what happens with every respiratory pandemic, is it starts, it spreads, the growth rate for a while is exponential, and then it levels off, and then it starts dropping again. And I think these government-enforced lockdowns, first of all, there was actually no evidence ahead of time that this was the way to solve a crisis in a pandemic. We're running a brand new social experiment. And now, unfortunately, I think if you really look at the data, there's no evidence that the lockdowns seem to have made much difference one way or the other.
Dr. Jay Richards with us, executive editor of The Stream. Jay, we've known you for a long time, and you know how much I appreciate you. There's nobody I'd rather talk to about this, because I feel like you're reasonable and informed. At the same time, I feel like it's super easy for us to sit here in hindsight, handicap at hindsight. You know, we have a lot more figures than we had 8 weeks ago. We have a lot more information. We know more about the virus than we did then. And I feel like it's in some ways unfair for us to be picking on president, governor, whoever it is, as though they were approaching this as in some sort of despotic way. Like, you know, we look at a country like China and we say, look, you know, communist countries like that, they don't care about their people. But here in America, you know, our leaders actually care when people die. I feel like we need to, in some ways, rejoice that we live in a place where governmental leaders care. And second of all, maybe back off a little bit and say, okay, maybe you didn't have all the information. Now we can make better choices, but not pick on the people who were the decision makers at the time. What do you say?
Yeah, I'm not saying, and I don't think I said that people were acting despotically. I don't think that. In fact, I've supported our president when it was very unpopular to do so. I have nothing against the governor here in Maryland. And so in some ways, it's sort of unpleasant to have to talk about this. But I feel like, you know, I got to call these things as I see them. And I'm not, quarterbacking after the fact. I was saying this to great unpopularity at the very beginning of March, that this is a huge mistake, that we're making decisions based on clearly flawed computer models and not based on data. You shouldn't take drastic actions when you don't have information. Remember, if we don't know how bad it was, we also didn't know how good it was. And so there's a way to make decisions in the context of uncertainty. And the one thing you don't want to do is overreact. And so I just think, look, Republican, Democrat, I assume they're all meaning to help us. I just think that we have made a terrible mistake. I think there was reason to think that from the beginning. And I'm perfectly happy to forgive everyone for what they did at the time. But at this point, we actually have plenty of data. And so the fact that we have a lockdown now, I think there's a reason to be angry about that, when maybe there wasn't a reason to be all that angry about it and to be forgiving, say, at the beginning of March.
Right. So, Jay, here we are, 30 plus million people unemployed across the country. It's unknown what the economy is going to look like. Certainly a lot of mom and pop places are going to fold. Even major corporations are going to go bankrupt upside down. You said earlier in our conversation, the effects of this will be held, will be felt for at least 10 years. What does it look like? I mean, how do we crawl out of this massive crater that we have created for ourselves?
Well, I think the first thing is that we need to reverse course really, really quickly. We know that from what I could tell, this cost the economy about $1 trillion a month. So you remember that was what the original, you know, the sort of so-called stimulus bill, really rescue package, was about $2.2 trillion for both what had already happened and in anticipation of what was going to happen. It looks like that's about $1 trillion a month. Now, that doesn't mean when people hear dollars and cents, they think, well, it's not about money, it's about people. The reason we care about the money is because we care about the people. If the economy tanks, the people that are on the very edge, right, are the ones that are hurt worst of all. In fact, there's been about 40% unemployment in people that make under about $40,000. So this is hitting lower income people the hardest. And the longer we do this, the more and more people that are going to be out of work. And that's going to be actual lives, lives lost from not having health care, deaths of despair, all the kind of things that we know happen in economic recessions also happen in depressions. And so that's why I think the president's instincts from the very beginning were right. He was tweeting just as he announced the lockdown that we didn't want the cure to be worse than the disease. The problem is that he has advisors who are single-minded in focusing just on the health issue, and that's their jobs. He needs to make decisions in which he takes into account the sort of entire picture of what's happening and realize that actually now we're going to have these long-term consequences. If the financial crisis of 2008, it really did take us about 10 years to get back to where we were before, and then we had a few really great years. This is probably four times larger in economic terms than the financial crisis. And I don't think that we're going to want to make that any worse than it already is.
That's Dr. Jay Richards. Jay is the executive editor of The Stream. He's also research assistant professor in the Bush School of Business at Catholic University of America and senior fellow at the Discovery Institute. Jay, thank you so much for being here today.
We appreciate it, Jay.
My pleasure. Great to be with you guys.
As Jay said, he's got a new book coming out shortly from Regnery Publishing.
You have the title of that book, John?
Yeah, it's called Viral, actually. Viral.
Viral.
Got
Very
it.
Very nice. And Jay, any idea on release date?
Sometime between September and October, but I don't know exactly when.
Very nice.
Okay, we'll look forward to that.
Yes, yeah. Thanks again. We'll take a break, come back. Hey, speaking of future down the road, look, school in September, let's hope it happens. But if it does happen, remotely or in person, we got great deals for you. Half price tuition. We'll talk about that in a few minutes with Kennedy Enriquez from Trinity Christian Schools.
101.5 WORD.
The coronavirus pandemic has forced us to find new ways to live, but how does it affect our faith? Get a free download of John Piper's Coronavirus in Christ from Family Life Today.
This is a time when the fragile form of this world is felt. The seeming solid foundations are shaking.
In this free book, you'll get answers to your questions and concerns.
Get John Piper's Coronavirus in Christ ebook free. Download it now at wordfm.com/download.
The stock market is tanking. Unemployment will likely reach an all-time high. Experts are saying the worst is yet to come, but what we need now is a solution. We have Colin Plume, president of Noble Gold, for some advice. What can Americans do now to prepare for a financially secure future?
It's time to invest in assets that are sure to maintain value through any economic disaster, such as gold, silver, and other precious metals. Holding shares in companies that might not be there next year doesn't make any sense to me, and the markets are made up of hundreds of companies just like this. Take a look at the Dow Jones from 25 years ago. There are less than a handful of companies that have survived the test of time, such as Kodak and Westinghouse. But the precious metals market is not only surviving, it's thriving.
That's encouraging, Colin. But how do our listeners, especially ones without financial savvy, explore the best strategies for their specific needs? And do we even have gold left? I heard there's a shortage.
We have helped thousands secure their investment and ready to help more. Just visit noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com.
Hey folks, this is John Hall. Like you, I'm confined to my home spending time with my family. And one thing we enjoy right now is watching uplifting movies that affirm our faith. With all the choices, what can you watch? I have the answer. Introducing Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus, a documentary which presents convincing evidence that the biblical account of the Exodus is true. Investigative filmmaker Tim Mahoney journeyed to Egypt, Israel, and throughout the world to search for answers to one very important question. Did the stories, like Exodus, as written in the Bible, really happen? The result of his investigation are monumental. Right now, you can watch Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus at home. Go to patternsofevidence.com. That's patternsofevidence.com. Immediately following the movie, a panel moderated by Gretchen Carlson and featuring Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, and Anne Graham Lotz will provide further insight and commentary on the film. Watch Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus, and others in this series. Go to patternsofevidence.com. That's patternsofevidence.com.
Looking for a new job? Coast to Coast Career Fairs and Word FM are hosting a free virtual job fair Wednesday through Friday, May 20th through the 22nd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Attend this virtual job fair from anywhere online. It's free for job seekers and open to the public. Connect virtually with dozens of good employers who are hiring in the Pittsburgh area. Virtual interviews available for a variety of positions. Wednesday, May 20th to Friday, May 22nd. Pre-register at c2cjobfairs.com. c2cjobfairs.com. Sponsored by Word FM.
We're so happy to be talking about school. We're so happy to be thinking that a fall term actually might occur. Yes. Oh, gosh, it's joyful. And we're always happy to have Kennedy Enriquez with us, headmaster at Trinity Christian School. Kennedy, welcome back.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah, Kennedy, it's our pleasure. So this weird school ending, notwithstanding, you know, most schools have been closed since March or so. But the fact of the matter is, I know parents are hungry to get their kids back in school in late August and early September. Talk to us about that. Both Kath and I have had kids, of course, in Christian schools. We've seen the benefit, the dividends that have played off in our children's lives. Of course, as a headmaster at a Christian school, you're pro-Christian school. And especially with half-price tuition, this is a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Well, I tell you what, you know, the superheroes in this situation that we're in right now are our teachers, right? You know, I mean, twice in the last 3 days, I've seen a parade go down my street where their kids are outside waving to their teachers. We moved our whole school online. And so, you know, the stories that the teachers tell and the things that you see on Facebook and on the videos that the teachers are making so kids can watch or they're doing in live presentations, it's just remarkable, you know. Really, really fun to hear about how excited they are. And they actually went on a museum trip. A Carnegie Museum worked with our second grade teacher, Sarah Fiscus, and they They literally had cameras there within the museum, and they showed them all the different things in the Egyptian room. We study ancient Egyptian history, and they got to go on a museum trip, right? So it was just all this creativity that's making it all happen here, and the teachers are truly the superheroes, for sure.
Great. So, Kennedy, as a headmaster at a school, I'm sure you're talking to your administration, your teachers, and, of course, to other administrations across Western PA. How do you make some sort of assessment on what September might look like?
Well, of course, the government officials, local, federal, they're all giving us direction here, and green's the color of spring, and it's also the color of starting school. We'll steal that from Kermit there, but I think that green is a key piece in this whole thing. You know, when we get to that green level here in Western PA and probably county by county, I think then we're really going to be a go for school in the fall. And so that's how we're looking at it. Certainly we're in the early stages of a lot of that planning, but we're kind of gathering leadership, talking about, okay, how do we do this and do it well, making sure we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's with all of the safety that now is becoming kind of the new normal.
Fabulous. Well, for my listeners, you should know that my youngest son attended Trinity Christian School, and I'll tell you, it's a powerful community. So wonderful. So many wonderful people who know Jesus, who are teaching Jesus, praying Jesus 24/7. So if you're interested in a quality Christian school in the east part of the city of Pittsburgh, I would highly recommend Trinity Christian School. And Kennedy, talk about that half-price tuition, what that looks like for a new family coming in.
Right. So a new families coming that are, they're listening to us right now. They certainly can contact Trinity if they're new families. They're not folks that have been here already, but of course they're taking advantage, kind of finding out like, sure, wow, there's a great opportunity here. Word FM has that, I think, listed on your website, and
you do.
It actually has that there. They look and see if there is a half price tuition there and for the school, and then the rest is history. Kind of a click and follow the link there as it takes you through the process. So we've been doing this for years, and very, very grateful for the partnership we have with Word FM in this whole process. So it's been really, really powerful, and we have folks that come and they stay, and we're grateful for that.
Outstanding. Well, Kennedy, seriously, we're humbled to have you with us, and the work that you do, all the staff, the administrators at Trinity Christian School, for all the Christian schools in the tri-state area, it's just a powerful thing. So we hope that you enjoyed this time off, and that the green comes into focus here very quickly, and before you know it, our kids are back in school in late August and early September. So God's blessing to you and yours, Trinity.
Hey, thanks so much, folks. I really appreciate the time here to talk about this and the partnership. It's really helpful.
Very nice. Kennedy Enriquez, the headmaster at Trinity Christian School in Forest Hills. Half-price tuition is on right now. Go to wordfm.com. You'll see the half-price tuition banner at our website. You click that, follow the procedure along, and before you know it, your child's enrolled in an excellent Christian school. There are many Christian schools across Western PA that are listed for a half-price, not just Trinity. So go there and find your neighborhood and save yourself a bundle of money for new students, new families at Christian schools. Take a break, come back. We got lots more ahead. We're just getting underway. The Ride Home with John and Kathy here on Word FM.
At Sprint, we understand saving money for your family is now more important than ever. That's why we're offering our best unlimited deal. Switch and get 4 lines of unlimited for just $100 a month. That's right, 4 lines for $100. Plus, the plan includes Hulu, 500 megabytes of mobile hotspot, DVD quality streaming, and more. If that's not enough, we're throwing in 4 Samsung Galaxy phones on us. And now, Sprint customers enjoy access to expanded coverage on the T-Mobile network. Shop from the comfort of your home at Sprint.com, call 800-SPRINT-1, or come see us in our stores. Phone after $35.42 per month credit for 18 months credit. Apply within 2 bills. If canceled early, remaining balance due. Unlimited basic after 7/31/21. Pay $35 per month per line with autopay. Data deprioritization during congestion. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Excludes taxes, fees, and roaming. Speed maximums, use rules, $30 activation fee, and restrictions apply.
Seasons of change and uncertainty can be difficult, even scary, but they don't have to control or define you. The counselors of the Grace Wellness Center would consider it a privilege to come alongside and help you replace the fear and frustration with freedom and peace. While office visits are still available throughout the area, Grace Wellness Center also offers online and phone appointments to make counseling convenient and available on your terms, accepting all major insurances at thegracewellnesscenter.com.
The coronavirus pandemic has caused a lot of chaos lately, but something good that's come from it all is that Americans are waking up to the fact that we make too many things overseas and are reliant on China and other nations for the products that we need most. Enough is enough. Authentically American is a veteran-owned, patriotic, made-in-USA apparel company. They produce the highest quality apparel you can find, and it's all American-made. While other companies are waiting for their supplies to come in from Asia, Authentically American is still going strong, putting our neighbors to work every day. They also give 10% of every purchase to charities that support our veterans and their families. Use code SALEMPITTSBURGH to get 10% off your entire purchase. Don't spend one more dime on products made overseas. If every American spent an extra $3.33 on U.S.-made goods, it would create almost 10,000 new jobs in this country. Shop at AuthenticallyAmerican.us and use promo code SALEMPITTSBURGH to take 10% off your entire purchase. That's promo code SALEMPITTSBURGH. Where is yours made?
When it comes to your child's education, do you feel like you have a partner in your current school? Or is it more like you're on your own? As you look ahead to next year, now's a perfect time to consider a quality Christian education with a school who will be a true educational partner for you and your family. Many of our area's finest Christian schools are offering half-price tuitions for first-time enrollees, like First Baptist Christian School of Butler. Find a school that's right for you at wordfm.com/tuitions.
These are not, on the surface, very joyful times, not in the slightest. So I think for all of us, we're trying to find joy in unexpected ways. Now, in today's New York Times, they wrote a piece about 14 ways that they're saying the collective, all of us, are getting through these terrible times and even finding some joy.
Oh, okay.
So they've asked some people to write some short essays, but these 14 suggestions, some are hit, some are miss. J-O-J-V-V-S, the joy of jogging very, very slowly.
Is that a joy?
Not for me. No.
Okay. I don't enjoy jogging either quickly or slowly. But
the
joy.
How about this? The joy of circling the block.
Yes. Right? Listen, I love that.
Yeah. Whether it's in your car or whether you're just walking by yourself or with someone you love, right?
I love it.
Yeah. I liked it. How about the joy? We've been doing this at our house of a junky old Nintendo.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So we've gone into my kids, you know, they're hardware guys. We've got any number of Nintendos and Wiis and all sorts of weird old video games. And we're using joysticks and going back, you know, to the 1980s or 1990s.
All of a sudden, you're like playing Pong at 11:30 p.m.
Right. I've done this, too. The joy of deleting my many mediocre photos. Have you done that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I didn't know other people were doing that too.
Yes, of course. Because you know how many photos you have on your phone. You go, that's horrible, right?
And I don't know if anyone else is doing this, but for work, I have made so many videos over the last 6 weeks that my phone storage is maxed out.
Okay.
So I have to go back and delete some
things. Get rid of it. Yeah, yeah. How about this? I want to read this essay. The joy of looking at the lives of strangers.
But that's me and my obsessive viewing of European travel documentaries.
Well, you know, one of the things I do in the Sunday paper, they have this thing called vows. And it always is a look at people who get married, their wedding vows. And it always traces the course of a relationship, what this person's life like was before they met that person, how they met, what that journey was like of courtship, and now how they came to be married. I like to look at strangers' lives.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
I've got a friend who used to talk about quality ED, which was his quality eavesdropping. He would go sit in public places in New York City and listen to people talk.
That's creepy.
It was one of his great joys.
Yeah. Okay, it's creepy.
Right. The joy of consuming an obscene number of calories before noon.
Wow, I have not done that.
That's good.
That's funny. I like it.
The joy of getting lost and finding your way back home again. I like that. The joy of imaginary homesteading in Los Angeles. Okay. Someone, you know, this is the beauty of Google and Google Maps, where you can go back to like the neighborhood that you grew up in.
Oh my gosh.
And see photographs. I sent my brother a photograph today from 1950 of our neighborhood, what it was like.
Wow.
1950. Now, of course, thank goodness I wasn't alive in 1950. But seriously, in my neighborhood, there was no parkway. There was an oil well.
Oh my gosh. That's
what
funny.
The heck was going on there? Yeah.
Right.
So it's always good to see. The joy of caring for others.
Yes.
Despite all the weirdness of
Which
what's been going on.
Which is why we're doing this.
Right.
Even if you don't like what we're doing, even if you don't like your governor or whatever, that's why we're doing it. It's got to be a good thing. It's got to count for something.
Yes. So there is joy. We'll take a break, come back during our 5 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about becoming sage, cultivating meaning, purpose, and spirituality in midlife. Stay with us.
Listen on your smart speaker, the Word FM app, at wordfm.com, iHeart, TuneIn, and on radio.com. In the car or at home, too, at 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstrup. Attorney General William Barr does not expect investigations into the origins of the FBI's Russia investigation to lead to criminal probes into either Joe Biden or former President Obama. Much of upstate New York beginning to reopen, but gatherings such as church services and sports events will still be banned, and it will still likely be weeks before New York City and its suburbs meet metrics for reopening. Walt Disney World ready to allow some third-party shops and restaurants to open at its entertainment complex later this week with a warning of an inherent risk of exposure to COVID-19. The opening of some shops and restaurants at Disney Springs Wednesday marks the latest baby steps towards Orlando's theme park resorts are taking towards reopening. And Ken Osmond, who played Eddie Haskell on the TV series Leave It to Beaver, has died this morning, as a matter of fact. He was 76. Dow up 943 points this hour. This is SRN News.
Let's welcome Jeremy Camp.
Hope comes home with I Still Believe. You can download it now at watchsalemmedia.com. From the creators of I Can Only Imagine comes the uplifting true life story of Christian music megastar Jeremy Camp.
I'm supposed to be with her. I can't explain it. I just know that.
Jeremy's hope and faith are put to the test when tragedy strikes.
You're going to be healed.
What if I'm not supposed to be healed?
Don't say that.
I Still Believe is an incredible story of musical stardom, the heights of love, the depths of loss, and the healing power of the human spirit. One love can change your life.
You chose willingly to walk into the fire with her. That's what love is.
Witness the true story of Christian music star Jeremy Camp and his journey of love and loss that looks to prove there is always hope. Starring KJ Apa, Britt Robertson, Gary Sinise, and Shania Twain. Own I Still Believe on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital now from Life. Lionsgate at WatchSalemMedia.com. That's WatchSalemMedia.com.
You've all helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to my listeners. You can get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener specials. You're going to see some amazing offers. Right now, MyPillow is offering an exclusive radio special. Today, we're offering buy one, get one free on a variety of amazing products, including the Supima MyPillows, MyPillow towels, roll and go anywhere pillows, duvet covers, Giza pillowcase, bolster pillows, and neck pillows. Plus, if you buy Mike Lindell's book, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO, you'll get free shipping and a $25 gift gift card. Just go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code WORD, or call 800-391-0954. Be sure to use promo code WORD. MyPillow is answering the call for more face masks as the country continues to deal with a global coronavirus pandemic. They'll be making face masks for hospitals across the country.
Spending more time inside? J&D Waterproofing can help you breathe a little easier. Protect your family, friends, and pets from mold, dampness, and other unhealthy elements. For over 80 years, J&D has been making Pittsburgh basements very dry and improving indoor air quality with solutions like the Easy Breathe System. Eliminate unhealthy mold and allergy-causing moisture without filters or reservoirs while using less energy than a 40-watt light bulb. Call 1-800-VERY-DRY or visit JDWaterproofing.com.
Moms sure do wear a lot of hats, and these days she's wearing a few she hadn't expected, like homeschool teacher, mask maker, hand washing enforcer, social distance shopper, toilet paper finder, parent checker-inner, screen time negotiator, personal space administrator, and make sure everyone's happier, safer-er, and healthier-er. And to help you appreciate her, Trinity Jewelers is now open. Like hats, the best gifts are unexpected. At TrinityJewelers.com.
Tonight, mostly cloudy and breezy with a low 56. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy and breezy still with a high 67. Tomorrow night, breezy in the evening, otherwise overcast with a low 49. Wednesday, breezy in the morning, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high 63. And Thursday, cloudy with a few showers and a high 69. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Gregory Patrick.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for coming along. The Monday edition of The Ride Home. It's an absolutely gorgeous May day, isn't
awesome.
It not? Just love it so much. Listen, we're on Facebook. If you want to see our faces, you can check us out.
I've got a screen right here. I can respond to a pithy comment or two?
Yeah, sure. Look for us online, 101.5 Word FM on Facebook, and of course, The Ride Home with John and Kathy as well. But we're always happy to be here on our radio home on Word FM. So, Russell Brand, you know the name? He is a British man. I would say he is an entertainer.
Stand-up comedian.
Is he a stand-up comedian?
Mm-hmm.
He is a stand-up comedian.
Writer.
Commentator. Actor.
Yeah. Actor.
Mm-hmm. He was once married to the singer Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm.
He, by his own admission, lived a life that was a complete and utter train wreck. He talks about this very freely. I don't know the man's faith. I do know this, though, that he is himself a seeker, however you want to take that. He is leaning in towards God. Mm-hmm. And, right, all of us find God in different ways. But he is not ashamed to talk about God, especially in Hollywood circles, to talk
he's
about
not
God
He's not ashamed
forcefully.
To talk about anything. First
no, he's
off.
Not. Really, he's not. So we saw a piece that was tweeted out by Russell Brand about the power of prayer, especially in these very strange times. Now, take it as you may, because I'm saying this. He is not a theologian. He is an entertainer. But this is someone who has leaned in and knows the power of prayer. Here's a short clip.
Hey, how you coping? You all right? Guess what I found out? That everyone's Googling prayer. People want to know how to pray all of a sudden. There was a time not that long ago when we thought that prayer religion was redundant, that mankind could answer all of our questions through technology. What is it that we're looking at now? Right now, staring at a magical tablet that's difficult to conceive of how that damn thing functions. Do you really think anything's moving when you swipe up like that? Do you really think that it's anything other than evidence that someone understood the way that addiction operates and that swiping up is unstoppable? I barely go on those things anymore. More the thing that we're on literally now, because I can't stand it. I can't stand getting weighed to it and wedded to it. We are looking for a sacred experience. What do you mean sacred, Russell? In the dictionary, it tells you that sacred means holy, divine, the presence of God. What I think that means is the presence of the limitless that is always, by its nature, present in the limited bandwidth of our physical sense-based experience here on Earth, which on some level we know is not enough. And now we've been forced into a monastic corner, except for those of us that are frontline workers, except for those of us that are up there shirkers, and except for those of us that are poor mag jerkers. We're all stationed, aren't we, and alone. Now, I've got young kids, so I'm pretty busy and occupied with dealing with the madness and the continual violence. Plus, I've got beer. Another beer. But what we all need is a connection to the sacred. And the fact that people are Googling prayer suggests to me that we need to find a way to pray together. Now, you might not.
Okay, so that's true. What he's saying about people are Googling prayer. People have Googled prayer. I looked at this before we went to the air. A 400% increase in people who are looking for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know, again, people's spiritual health, but like Russell says, we have been forced into a monastic corner, right? And so for a lot of people, people have, you know, doing Netflix or they're doing whatever to pass the time. But for a small percentage of those people, 400%.
I don't think it's a small percentage.
Maybe not. Okay. The people have considered maybe for the first time or coming back to prayer in their lives. And that's powerful.
According to the Wall Street Journal, John, in March, the number of Google searches for prayer skyrocketed. According to a not yet published analysis of search results, this is the interesting thing, for 95 countries.
Wow.
So this is not just something that's happening in the U.S. This is a worldwide phenomenon. I think it is absolutely amazing, fantastic, wonderful news.
Yes.
To hear Russell Brand talk about the search for the sacred. Look, this is what we are here for. We're here to listen to somebody who's wondering and to say, yes, it's like Paul in Acts when he's in Athens, when he's walking around and he sees their statue to the unknown God. And he says, basically, this is, I'm not reading it from here, so this is from my memory. He says, I saw that you have a statue to an unknown God. I'm so glad for that because I'm here to tell you who that is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's such a wonderful opportunity for people who believe in Jesus, for us to not go out and tell people why their lives are wrong, but to say, yes, what you're searching for can be found.
I'm into that. That's
perfect,
really good.
Time. It's a wonderful time.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, these are such strange times. You know, during our 4 o'clock hour, we talked about the government shutting down, you know, the United States and around the world, of course. And what does that look like economically? What does it look like spiritually? So an opportunity for people to engage in prayer. Man, what a time it would be if hearts would turn towards Jesus. And people have been talking about this for a long time. I feel as though there was a revival coming. People have been talking about. Well, now, with all the churches closed, perhaps soon and very soon, when churches do open up, people will be flooding churches once again and wanting to know the Lord of the universe, Jesus Christ.
Here's another interesting portion of the Wall Street Journal article, John. A 2005 study in the Journal of Behavioral Medicine comparing secular and spiritual forms of meditation found some interesting things. Now, whenever people are Googling prayer, there is a distinction that researchers always seem to go to, which is, okay, are you Googling prayer because you actually want to talk to God, or are you trying to more freely associate with yourself? You know, are you trying to just find the best you, or are you looking to God in particular? So some people say, well, prayer and meditation are the same thing. So whether you believe in God or not, it doesn't matter. I mean, we're all doing the same thing. We're all just sitting there just trying to like get in touch with like the best parts of ourselves. Now, I think that that's complete bunk. There is a gigantic, huge, vast chasm of a difference between meditation and prayer. Because prayer, you are engaging with an actual person. You are engaging with a personality. God is not some amorphous shape. That's what Jesus taught us. God is himself. Right. So when you pray, it is different than meditating. And that's what this 2005 study found out. It says this. They compared secular and spiritual forms of meditation, and they found spiritual meditation or prayer to be more calming. In secular meditation, which is just, you know, your plain meditation, you focus on something such as your breath. Okay. Or some kind of non-spiritual word. But in spiritual meditation, you focus on a spiritual word or text, or in my view, you're focusing on a person. You're focusing on God himself. Participants were divided into groups, with some being taught how to meditate using words of self-affirmation. Like, are you ready, John?
Sure.
You're going to meditate saying the words, I am love. Yeah, that's what you're going to meditate on. Okay. Now, I would also like to see what your social media feed looks like before you are saying over and over to yourself for 15 minutes straight, I am love. But whatever. Others, though, in contrast, were taught how to meditate with words that described something different. They meditated on God is love. Then they meditated for 20 minutes a day for 4 weeks. Researchers found that the group that practiced spiritual meditation and meditated on God is love showed greater decreases in anxiety and stress and more positive mood. In addition, they also tolerated pain almost twice as long as the other group.
Really?
Now, that's not a surprise, because it's not like it's just a word trick. It's like there's something actual, substantively different about saying I am love and saying, God, you are love.
Right. It's a total shift of focus.
Completely different.
Left to my own devices, I'm going to screw this up.
I am not love.
No, I'm small. I'm angry. I'm divisive. I'm an idiot. Right. God, he's
love.
He's powerful. He's strong. He's grace-filled. But he's also wanting to call me into connection with him. Whatever that works like, right?
Anyway, it is a thrill to be living at this moment, seeing this many people who are searching for prayer online, searching for God. Listen, if you reach out to somebody on social media, if you have a friend who's asked you a question, this is your time. This is your time to stand up for Jesus in a way that is mercy and grace-filled, to show who he is.
Who knew that we were going to evangelize from our spare rooms, right? It's a strange world that we live in. Okay, let's take a break. We're looking forward to our next guest. We're going to talk about becoming sage, cultivating meaning, purpose, and spirituality in midlife and beyond. Stick around for that. Hello, I'm Jack Graham, and I want to personally invite you to join me each weekday for PowerPoint, where we'll get down to the basics of what really matters, life in Jesus Christ. Each day, I'll give you practical, biblical steps for tapping into God's power for successful Christian living. So make plans to join me for a time of spiritual encouragement that will leave you feeling more alive in Christ.
PowerPoint, tonight at 9:30 on 101.5 WORD.
The stock market is tanking. Unemployment will likely reach an all-time high. Experts are saying the worst is yet to come, but what we need now is a solution. We have Colin Plume, president of Noble Gold, for some advice. What can Americans do now to prepare for a financially secure future?
It's time to invest in assets that are sure to maintain value through any economic disaster, such as gold, silver, and other precious metals. Holding shares in companies that might not be there next year doesn't make any sense to me, and the markets are made up of hundreds of companies just like this. Take a look at the Dow Jones from 25 years ago. There are less than a handful of companies that have survived the test of time, such as Kodak and Westinghouse. But the precious metals market is not only surviving, it's thriving.
That's encouraging, Colin. But how do our listeners, especially ones without financial savvy, explore the best strategies for their specific needs? And do we even have gold left? I heard there's a shortage.
We have helped thousands secure their investment and ready to help more. Just visit noblegoldinvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Thrift with a purpose at the grand reopening of City Mission thrift stores beginning this Friday. City Mission has been preparing stores with safety measures and disinfecting to protect shoppers and employees. Find lots of great items at the best deals while supporting City Mission programs for men, women, children, and veterans. All 7 City Mission thrift stores have modified reopening hours Monday through Saturday 9 to 6 with a special senior citizen shopping hour 9 to 10 a.m. For the store near you, visit citymission.org/shop.
If you don't drive much, you can save on a lot. Like Phillips. New tires. Even car washes. So why shouldn't you save on insurance? With new pay-per-mile car insurance from Allstate, you get great coverage at a low price based on your safe driving. And if you don't drive much, you don't pay much. You're in good hands.
Call a local Allstate agent to learn more about new Paper Mile car insurance. Price also includes a daily rate, subject to terms, conditions, and availability.
Looking for a new job? Coast to Coast Career Fairs and Word FM are hosting a free virtual job fair Wednesday through Friday, May 20th through the 22nd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Attend this virtual job fair from anywhere online. It's free for job seekers and open to the public. Connect virtually with dozens of good employers who are hiring in the Pittsburgh area. Virtual interviews available for a variety of positions. Wednesday, May 20th to Friday, May 22nd. Pre-register at c2cjobfairs.com. c2cjobfairs.com. Sponsored by Word FM.
I don't know about you, but one of the great joys of being active in your church is being surrounded by people who have different life experiences mm-hmm. than you
and
do.
And are different ages.
Yeah, and I think especially the different ages. As a man, I've had the opportunity to be with other guys who are decades older than me, and the things that I've learned from them, their wisdom is just fabulous. I mean, it's altered my life. The network of guys that have been in my life over these many decades, it's just something very powerful. So that's the church. I think you find that specifically more so there than you would in business or in social clubs. There's just something that's transparent, that's freeing about that connection in Jesus and allowing each other to have that conversation about where you are, what's happened, and where you hope to go in life. Well, Michelle Van Loon is back with us. Michelle's been a guest on our show over the years. Her latest book is called Becoming Sage, Cultivating Meaning, Purpose, and Spirituality in Midlife. Michelle, welcome back. How are you today?
I'm glad to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure, always.
Great. All right. Now, Michelle, based on the title, Becoming Sage, that seems to imply that we don't start out sage.
We don't. And I always wish that I could kind of offer a disclaimer to say, I'm not a sage dispensing advice. I'm in process, just like all of us are. Mm-hmm. It is the journey towards wisdom is something that gets cultivated throughout our lifespan. So,
but I wonder, Michelle, is it some people are born with a measure of wisdom? Most of us have to earn it.
We do. And if you think about Solomon, one of the things that we love about young Solomon, maybe not old Solomon in the Bible, but definitely young Solomon, was the fact that he had that moment where he was able to ask God for anything that mm-hmm. he wanted. Now, I would have asked for lots of military troops or lots of money, some lovely parting gifts, but he asked for wisdom. And as a young man, to make that choice says a lot about what he was seeing in the people who were ahead of him, his father, David, and some of the others around him, some of his other elders.
Yeah. Now, Michelle, you mentioned the older Solomon, and those of us who've read ahead in the book know that we also can lose our sageness in a hot minute over time as we make one bad decision after another.
Yes, we can. And he did. He did. You know, everything else that he got along with the wisdom, because of the wisdom, kind of turned him in some ways into a guy who made some pretty foolish choices along the way. But he also, I think, recognized along the way. He was mm-hmm. haunted by what he knew. And my whole kind of a reason for writing and talking about this is that a lot of times the way that we do discipleship in the church is not what you described, John, but it tends to be kind of a set of, here's some stuff that you need to learn to have a successful Christian life. And we may learn it in Sunday school and youth group. We may learn it in a new believers class, but then the default setting tends to be silence about what comes next. So most of us are left to assume, well, if we just keep doing the same things over and over again, we'll get better at them and eventually we'll mature.
Right. Okay, so the title of your book, part of it is You Are Cultivating Something. And of course, here we are at the beginning of a season of spring where cultivating is just starting to take place. So that would assume the work of wisdom is something that has to be intentional. It's something that you do on a regular basis. It's something that you keep your eye on to build wisdom in your life.
Absolutely. And these sound like really obvious thoughts, and they kind of are, but then they kind of aren't when we get into the trenches of when things change in our life. I focus on midlife because that, you know, to go to the nature kind of image, I don't lean on it too much in the book, actually, but to go to the nature image, that is a time for many of us when the losses start accumulating and we are being pruned. You know, kids leave the nest or kids make very bad choices, job, career changes. We're all living through a time of really dramatic change right now in this COVID-19 era. And those changes are just beginning. We're just at the beginning edges of them. So as we change in our lives, we become caregivers to aging parents. We may move, churches may split, lots of changes happen. Those are actually the places where wisdom can grow. If we recognize how God is at work there, we are able to cooperate with Him.
Mm. Michelle Van Loon is with us. The new book is called Becoming Sage, Cultivating Meaning, Purpose, and Spirituality in Midlife. Now, Michelle, can I go back to the Solomon analogy again? You know, I was thinking as I was talking about, you know, some of the disasters that befell Solomon in his later years, and I said they were a result of bad decisions. Maybe I misspoke when I said that. I mean, I wonder, really, the bad decisions were a result of him losing focus on his first love. And, you know, he loved God so much at the beginning and understood the type of thing he was asking when he asked for wisdom. And that faded over time, or he lost track of it or something. Can you talk about that and how that figures into wisdom?
Yeah, that's a great observation. And I agree. And a lot of times when we hear that word, the language of first love, which we see in Revelation also, we picture that as kind of a return to innocence, a return to childlike trust. And those things are true. But yet God carries us through our lives to become mature. And so that maturity doesn't mean that we become childish again, but that we become childlike. But that childlikeness also looks a lot like wisdom. It's one of those paradoxes of a growing faith that doesn't necessarily match the way that, you know, we think about gaining and acquiring information or skill in the world. So,
wow, that's really interesting. Childlikeness looks a lot like wisdom. Now, I would not have thought that, but certainly, you know, when Jesus talked about who's going to enter the kingdom of God, he said, you have to become like a little child to basically, you have to become like a little child to get it.
Mm-hmm. And he said it, that particular thing, as he was talking to an older man, Nicodemus, someone who, you know, he was a master of his life. He was at the top of his religious profession. And Jesus talked about being born again to a man like that because skill does not necessarily net wisdom. And one thing that we in the church that I found through my research is that a lot of us talk about maturity, but we're very unclear on what that looks like, what it means, and how we grow in community. John definitely referenced one way, which is to be mentored and to be in relationship with people that are ahead of you on the path, that are older than you, that are more experienced, and hopefully that experience has transformed into some wisdom.
Yes. So, Michelle, we live in this this TED Talk age, and I'm sure as you were doing the research and talking to other people about wisdom and what it is to be a sage, people probably want, well, give me three easy steps to wisdom. I mean, I'm not asking you for those three easy steps, but I'll take one. Is there one step towards being a sage?
Well, I am going to be like the biggest disappointment of your week, and it's only Monday.
It's only Monday. We got plenty of time.
There is no program. That is the thing. And that's part of, I think, why we in the church have struggled, because when we can codify things into a 7-week program or a 12-week sermon series, then we can kind of check it off the box. And this is more about being a whole life, both our whole life as individuals before God, but also the call to community, to intergenerational community, and to being intentional and countercultural about the way that we look at the second half of life. A lot of, particularly women, tend to kind of fade into the woodwork as they get older. You know, there's places for them to, you know, perhaps to mentor, but a lot of churches don't know what to do with like a single divorced woman or a man who's a widower that's kind of a quiet guy. And so that intentionality requires more than a program or a TED Talk, which is why I'm not doing TED Talks.
Right.
You're
no, I appreciate how you're saying that. Yeah, I appreciate how you're saying that, Michelle, because, you know, the growth toward wisdom or becoming sage, as your book says, there's no program, because it's a process with a person, with God. I mean, it's not, if God was just a series of stipulations or a series of regulations, then we could all be on the same path, but he's not. He's a person. And so when you enter into a relationship with him, it's going to be the ride of your life, because he's going to make choices and do things differently in your life than in anyone else's.
The great gift that we can give each other, no matter what stage of life we're at, whether we're ahead or behind of someone else, whether we're new in the faith or whether we're mature, is to be able to listen and to really notice how God is at work in someone's life. To be able to say, I can see that God is at work. That can change your perspective and your understanding of what is going on, particularly in a time where there is great loss and grief and confusion and disorientation.
Yes. So, again, we live in this age, Michelle, where I believe wisdom is in very short supply. And for those very few public people who display flashes of wisdom, I mean, the crowd rushes forward. We're so hungry for wisdom. We're so hungry for truth, for reason. I just wish, you know, popular culture in many ways sort of, we go backwards. We look towards the fool. We look towards the cheap and easy entertainment. But, of course, in the long run, in the sweep of mankind, we need wisdom now more than ever.
We absolutely do. And the very thing that you're doing, not just with me, but, you know, every day that you guys log on to the air, is you're seeking to have a conversation and bring a variety of voices and perspectives.
Yes.
That's, at its core, is a model for how we can grow in wisdom if we're rooted and anchored in faith in a living God, the living God.
Yeah. That's Michelle Van Loon. Michelle, thank you so much for being here. Michelle's the author of 5 books, including If Only, Letting Go of Regret, and her newest, Becoming Sage, Cultivating Meaning, Purpose, and Spirituality in Midlife. See you later, Michelle. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Our pleasure. We'll take a quick break, come back. We all need some wisdom. How about some wisdom in looking at summer plans? Is it wise to travel or not? Should you just do a staycation? Stick around for that.
Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, a partner you can trust in times of need, featuring 24-hour emergency service. From plumbing, heating, cooling, and trenchless sewer repairs, Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling has been a trusted name for over 35 years when it comes to helping you solve household problems and concerns. Visit greaterpghplumbing.com or call 412-223-2560. Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling at greaterpghplumbing.com.
If you are a caregiver for a family member or loved one, this is an important message. Excel Home Care will pay you to take care of your family member or loved one. Yes, you heard right. You can actually get paid to provide care for those you love. To learn more, contact Excel Home Care today and get started right now. Care and quality when you need it. Excel Home Care, 412-212-8950. 412-212-8950. XL Home Care, a help at home company.
I get this warm feeling every single time we have special needs patients in our office. Their needs are not that different from anybody else. Spending the time with that patient is very rewarding to me.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
If you have a child, no matter what the age, unless you've homeschooled in the past, chances are your child right now is involved in some form of online learning. Well, here's the deal. Successful learning takes more than two computers. Both of Kath and I's kids go to Grove City College, and so we see firsthand the nature of what quality online education is. In these strange times, not the best way to go about learning, but making the best of an odd situation, that's Grove City College. Kath?
I think one of the things that I've been so impressed by and thankful for, John, is the fact that the personalized approach and the personal relationships were already in place before all of this hit. So it wasn't like the professors had to, you know, figure out who the students were and boy, I got to make sure that I can come up with some kind of like interpersonal approach to them. No, that was already happening. And so when that's, you know, when they have history in that regard and then something like this emergency hits, and they have to move to a different mode. It's awkward. It's weird. It takes a lot of adjustment, but really the relationship is already present.
One day soon, hopefully, this will all be over and kids will be back in school. We would encourage you to check out online Grove City College, its beautiful campus, but even more so, a Christ-centered education from men and women who love to teach, love to learn. Look online, Grove City College, gcc.edu.
Ask Alexa to play the word Pittsburgh to hear us there.
We're on your Google speaker too, plus iHeart, TuneIn, and on radio.com. 101.5 WORDFM, Pittsburgh.
Tonight, mostly cloudy and breezy with a low 56. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy and breezy still with a high 67. Tomorrow night, breezy in the evening, otherwise overcast with a low 49. Wednesday, breezy in the morning, otherwise mostly cloudy with a high 63, and Thursday, cloudy with a few showers and a high 69. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Gregory Patrick.
Wouldn't it be nice to hit the road, Jack? Don't
yes.
You come back no more, no more, no more, no more?
It would.
I think everyone's summer plans are still on hold because
summer
we don't
plans
know what
on
to
hold.
Expect.
How about defunct?
No, there are still many people who think I'm going to the beach.
Okay,
I'm
but
still
many people
do this.
That means that's what you're thinking.
There are many people in the room that I'm in right now.
Okay, yeah.
Which is only me who are thinking I need to go to the beach.
Exactly.
So, is it safe to travel again? Okay. So what about traveling domestically? The Wall Street Journal has an article in today's edition about, is it safe to travel again? Your coronavirus questions are answered. So they just go down the line. Here's a question. What about traveling domestically? Should I plan a summer vacation that now that some states are loosening their lockdowns? They say this, the Wall Street Journal experts. Noting that causes of the coronavirus disease have been reported in every state, the CDC has advised against all non-essential travel within the U.S., even camping, warning that travel increases your chances of getting and spreading COVID-19. That said, the CDC website does offer advice for minimizing risks while staying in hotels or rental properties or taking road trips. For example, when you get to your room or rental property, clean and disinfect all high-touch surfaces. Well, of course you do that.
Right.
State-mandated travel restrictions vary widely, of course. A number of states, including Alaska, Maine, Hawaii, Rhode Island, require all out-of-state visitors to self-quarantine for 14 days. In Florida, only visitors from outbreak hotspots, such as New York, tri-state areas, must quarantine. California, Colorado, Hawaii, among other top tourist destinations, are discouraging visitors. Beaches, parks, campgrounds are closed in a lot of states, open in others. Some goes for hotels.
John, it's not sounding good for you, my friend.
Well, I think they're basically saying travel at your own what?
Can you get a domestic flight?
Oh, yeah, sure. You can get domestic flights. Right. Okay. I mean, planes are flying, although, you know,
not many.
No, not a lot. Right. I mean, I'll sit in the backyard here and occasionally a plane will fly over. Right. So there are people who are flying somewhere.
I mean,
I just want to get my car.
We were supposed to have a family vacation to California.
Oh,
that
was dashed.
That was dashed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Since California is not even going to have school in the fall semester, right. I don't think they're interested in having us from Pennsylvania show up.
Okay, so in the back of my mind, here's what I want to do, and this is what I do basically every summer. I drive to a beach that I know that is very isolated, and I set up shop. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, there's nobody within a football field of me.
That is socially distant.
And that's whether I'm in coronavirus time or not,
right.
That's how I want to live my life. I just mm-hmm. so
you want us all to get the heck out.
Just, I love you all, but please go over there. I just want to sit on the beach and read mm-hmm. and occasionally go in and get wet and then mm-hmm. come back out again and do it again the next day, right? So is it okay to travel?
Well,
probably
I mean,
not like not Disney World or anything like that. But if you were wise.
This is what I think. Are you asking me for my non-clinical opinion that carries no weight at all?
Yes, just okay. You personally.
Just me personally. If over these next 2 weeks, as we've gone from red to yellow, if people are more freely associating in groups of 10 or less, and there is not an uptick in the virus, then people are going to start to do all sorts of things they didn't imagine they'd be doing.
People are already out. You know that. I mean,
so wait and see approach.
Push comes to shove.
Yeah, you're going, aren't you? Mike, you're going, right?
On vacation? No, he's not going on vacation.
Yeah,
he's going. He's got a major purchase.
He's not going anywhere.
Not anymore.
Now he's not going.
No, he's got other expenses he's got to take care
Absolutely.
Of.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't it be nice to just go to the beach?
John, you know me. I would go to the beach at the drop of a hat any day of any year. I don't care what's happening.
I mean, when you see those pictures of like people congregating at the beach and they're like next to each other, that's the last thing. That is not going to the beach.
Right.
That's horrible. That's like a nightmare.
Yeah, that is really horrible. I've done a lot of that. If you spend any amount of time living in New Jersey and you go to a New Jersey beach, that's what you're doing.
Right. Well, I'm not doing that. There's
okay,
just no way.
Not doing that.
I'm going to find a place that's far, far. I know a place that I'm not going to talk about.
Because it's super secret. Is it like the missile that Trump was talking about?
Super
what do you
duper.
Call that? Super
it's
duper.
A super duper beach I got going here. And you're not invited.
It's a super duper beach.
So, I mean, like taking the kids to Disneyland, of course, Disneyland's not even going to be open. So,
right. Okay.
Is Kennywood open?
Can I change the subject for just a minute?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So over the weekend, our conversation as a family, this was brought up by my youngest daughter, is what's your hot take? Okay. Which means what's your opinion that is going to be unpopular?
That runs against the grain.
That runs against the grain. So we had a great time. We shared about 60 of these over the last couple of days. Anyway, here's my hot take based on what you said. I never want to go to Disney World or Disneyland ever.
Oh, that's my hot take too. I'm right with you.
It's just not interesting.
That's
to me.
Not a vacation.
It's not a vacation. It's not
like a lot of work.
No, okay.
What am I going to go to Disney World and stand in line for like 6 hours to get on some, you know, what, spinning teacup or something? I'm not going to do that.
Wouldn't you like to be on a spinning teacup with John, Mike?
No, I'd be discontent. I would not be happy. Right?
It's hard to imagine John discontent. I don't know. All right. We need to step away. But when we come back, the Reverend Eric Andre is going to be with us. We'll talk about a little spiritual self-care in this era.
That's good. Some Dove.
WORD.
Okay, everybody in the car.
Where are we going, Daddy?
On an adventure.
Yay!
Adventures in Odyssey. It's not just a kids' show. It's a show the whole family can enjoy. Listen on this station.
Adventures in Odyssey, tonight at 8 on 101.5 Word FM, WORD.
Got milk? We sure do. Hi, it's me, Marcia, from the Springhouse, and boy, do we have milk. That 130-cow herd of ours just keeps on producing. They don't give one hoot about a world health pandemic going on. Come on out to the Springhouse in Washington County, Pennsylvania, for farm-fresh milk that we pasteurize, homogenize, and bottle right here at the Springhouse when my brother Sam brings it over the hill from the milking barn. We share a lot about our homemade meals and baked goods, but cows are the heart and soul of our dairy farm and country store. To say thank you for your unwavering support during these uncertain times and to lend a helping hand to our customers, we are offering all three kinds of white milk at a huge discount, $2.95 a gallon, as long as we can keep up. Our family is so blessed by so many folks stopping by and thanking us for being open, and we are blessed to be open. Let us share a little bit of our farm with you. 724-228-3339. Or springhousemarket.com.
Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, a partner you can trust in times of need, featuring 24-hour emergency service. From plumbing, heating, cooling, and trenchless sewer repairs, Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling has been a trusted name for over 35 years when it comes to helping you solve household problems and concerns. Visit greaterpghplumbing.com or call 412-223-2560. Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling at greaterpghplumbing.com.
This is Greg Trzynski from the Original Mattress Factory, and while the last few weeks have been filled with uncertainty, they've also been a great reminder of what really matters. Many things that felt so important just a few short months ago don't feel that way anymore. What matters now is the time we spend with our friends and family, even if that is just through a video chat. As we face adversity, what matters now is how our communities are pulling together to take care of one another and fight through this. To those on the front lines and behind the scenes, thank you for all that you do.
We're all thinking a lot about school these days. Like, will the kids ever go back? Or why can't they have enough work to last the whole day? Or if it's all online, what are the teachers really doing? Now's a perfect time to consider a Christian education with a school who will be a true educational partner for you and your family. Many are offering half-price tuitions for first-time enrollees, like Jubilee Christian School in Mount Lebanon. Find a school that's right for you at wordfm.com/tuitions.
Okay, this phrase, self-care, you hear this a lot. Whenever I think of self-care, I kind of think, well, I need to put moisturizer on, right? I mean, is that...
which you do a lot of.
I mean,
is moisturizer an important part of your day?
When I'm all done in the morning, I, you know, squeeze that little thing and put some stuff on my face, you know.
Sure,
yeah.
Okay.
My hands, you know.
Squeeze a little thing? Okay,
yeah,
it's not,
you know,
toothpaste, is
whatever.
It?
No, you know, it's okay. Like the moisturizer stuff.
All right.
I do that, you know. Okay, it's good to go.
That
what
sounds,
about spiritual
that sounds
self-care?
Sounds like a demanding skincare regimen.
Here's the deal. Not to get gross. As long as I'm not flaking, right? As long as I'm not shedding or something, I'm okay, right?
That's his baseline, Mike. As long as he's not flaking.
That's a whole other story, though, isn't it?
I think it is. Yeah, it's okay. Probably not what Eric Andre decided to talk about.
I agree, yeah. Spiritual self-care, that's an entirely different matter. Eric Andre is back with us. Eric is a campus pastor, Lutheran Student Fellowship, and at First Trinity Church in Shadyside, here to talk about spiritual self-care. Eric, welcome back. How are you today?
I thought we were talking about moisturizers.
Yeah, I would like to talk about moisturizers for a longer period of time.
Actually, it is a good segue, believe it or not. Talking about spiritual self-care, which is a phrase I've heard for, you know, these times of uncertainty and crisis during the pandemic. I really like to speak of this Christ care for us still through his word. But I think one important aspect of that, if we could segue from moisturizers, the application, to our baptismal identity, where we were, if you will, moistened with the water in the name of the God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we carry that with us at all times. We have this baptismal identity that is always with us, is daily applicable. And, you know, we can, through repentance and new life, we live out who we are as God's children, regardless. Now, of course, now, you know, we've gone to the yellow phase. Some churches are starting to reopen in limited ways. But regardless of whether we're still staying home or not, we live out that baptismal identity in daily repentance and in the new life that comes out of that through the forgiveness of sins. And God gives us means to do that. In the Lutheran Church, and I think others as well, we use the language of the means of grace. And what we mean by that is that God has certain instruments, in a way, earthly temporal instruments that are joined to his word and therefore are the means of his grace, his loving kindness and mercy. And there's multiple means of grace. It's plural. It's not only the written scriptures, it's also the proclaimed scriptures. It's not only the proclaimed scriptures, it's also the Lord's Supper, communion. It's not only communion, it's also baptism. It's not only baptism, it's confession and absolution, both private and corporate. It's not only that, it's prayer. And all of these are means that are still, if one means is not available to us, again, most churches have, we talked about this last time I was on, regarding the online communion, this may be something that, we can't do, but we still have all these other means that I just mentioned. So, we can be in the Word. We can have the mutual conversation and consolation of brothers and sisters in Christ. We can hear the Word proclaimed online. We can read. We can read the Scriptures. We can read devotional books and other things based on that. So, but all of that is a way in which we live out that application, I think, of our baptismal identity as God's children, which always holds, no matter what crisis we're in, no matter what our own personal uncertainties or corporate uncertainties are.
Yeah. So, Eric, what you're saying, and tell me if I'm wrong about this, but I hear you kind of conveying the message that our solidity as people who are cared for by a holy God has not changed, even though everything around us appears to have changed.
Right, right. I mean, we can be confident and sure in our identity as God's children. The devil during uncertain times, during times of crisis, and will seek to. He would love nothing more than for us to begin to doubt our place in God's plans and purposes for us. To doubt God's goodness. To doubt. To be weakened in the faith. But again, God has provided multiple means, and he holds us through those means. He holds us in his hand. And that's where I think, this can be, it can be an opportunity for people, hopefully, to have rediscovered or to rediscover daily devotions. I think a lot of Christians, I think maybe all Christians struggle with it to some extent. Maybe some have never even tried to enact it on a personal or family level. But, to begin and or to end the day with scripture, with prayer, with meditation on those scripture passages, with hymn singing. Even, if you're a single person at home, get out the hymn book or go online to hymnary.org and sing those hymns out loud. The devil hates joyful Christian singing. And, sing them out loud. Turn to some of those prayer apps. Get those devotional books out and get into the habit of being in the Word, which all the more as the churches start to open up will flow into your corporate worship with your brothers and sisters in Christ and then flow back into that daily rhythm of bracketing your day with scripture and prayer and singing.
Fabulous. Eric Andre with us. Eric, talk about, what are you reading now? I mean, I think for a lot of people, especially early on, we did not want to go through this without having some dividend on the way back out. So are you doing something different spiritually for yourself in your own spiritual care?
I am certainly not so much different for me, because I've had, for a while now, a habit of beginning the day individually with the Word and prayer and then ending the day with family devotion, especially with our young girls.
Sure.
But I guess I could say I've, in a way, recommitted to it, and as a pastor, recommitted to modeling and teaching that for my people. But there's a couple things that I've been reading and a couple things I also recommend. One is, many of your listeners will undoubtedly be familiar with this, but many will not, but Dietrich Bonhoeffer's little classic on community and solitude called Life Together. He wrote this, in some ways in a similar but yet very different setting. He wrote this during the Nazi regime and the oppression that he suffered under that, where his seminary had to go underground and was deemed illegal and all that. And he wrote about Christian community. but he also included a chapter on solitude. And he said, beware of not being able to be alone. But beware also if you always have to be in community. You have to balance the two. And I think, and so it's just a wonderful, and I say little book because it's not that long. Most editions are, I don't know, 130 pages or something. And it's just beautiful. It's written almost in a kind of biblical way, like, you know, like an epistolatory way. And he deals with community and solitude. I recommend that highly just for kind of edifying reading. For devotional reading, taking scripture passages and kind of just unpacking them spiritually, there's a book called To Live with Christ. And you go through the year with Christ, walking the roads with him, and then how he lives through the church, how he lives in his earthly ministry, how that's applied to us today individually and as a church. And that's by a man I've mentioned before with you guys, Bo Geertz, G-I-E-R-T-Z, Bo Geertz, To Live with Christ. And then campus ministry for us, we have actually taken the time to start a very simple prayer app, a prayer site online, and it's prayer.lsfpgh.com. So Lutheran Student Fellowship, Pittsburgh, but prayer.lsfpgh.com. Very simple daily devotion for each day with kind of built around the Psalms, other scripture passages, the Lord's Prayer. And of course, anybody can just, you know, go on that and check that out. But those are some of the things that I've been using for myself and for others.
Very nice. Eric Andre from First Trinity Church in Shadyside. Eric, just a few seconds left. Any plans for First Trinity to open up?
We had our first public service yesterday. We're limiting it to 25 and under, and we're distributing communion in a different way, modified format, so to speak. But everything went beautifully yesterday, and that's how we're going forward. And I would just add, you know, for those that are not opened up yet, you know, watch services online. You can certainly watch our service streaming live at our Facebook page, and you can watch it, you know, archived on our YouTube channel, First Trinity. And just one last thing, God, encourage people to take this time. I talked about the mutual conversation and consolation of brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, reach out to old friends and new friends with FaceTime and Zoom, text them. I've renewed friendships with friends from college and people from literally across the world, where we could have done that before, but I don't think we were thinking about it as much. And that's something that is a dividend, a payoff that I think will come out of this, that renewed friendships and hopefully renewed Christian friendships.
Fabulous. Eric, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Our hope is the next time we speak, we do so face to face. Always a pleasure.
Amen. Thanks, John. Take care. Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you, Reverend Eric Andre, campus pastor, Lutheran Student Fellowship, also at First Trinity Church in Shadyside. Come back in a few minutes. We're going to read some scripture. Stay with us.
Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, a partner you can trust in times of need, featuring 24-hour emergency service. From plumbing, heating, cooling, and trenchless sewer repairs, Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling has been a trusted name for over 35 years when it comes to helping you solve household problems and concerns. Visit greaterpghplumbing.com or call 412-223-2560. Greater Pittsburgh Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling at greaterpghplumbing.com.
We're all spending more time at home these days, but somehow the wind and the rain didn't get the memo about shelter in place. Hey, listen, there's some great news from Windows R Us Pittsburgh. They've been granted a waiver by the governor to handle any emergency repairs outside your home. If you've had damage to your roof, gutters, siding, or windows, Windows R Us Pittsburgh can still answer the call. And everything will be handled in strict compliance with the government's social distancing guidelines to keep your family and their employees safe. You may be eligible for free repair or replacement with the area's premier exterior replacement company with over 50 years of home remodeling experience. Visit windowsorustpittsburgh.com for a free inspection from one of their highly trained appraisers. For a no-pressure approach with no hidden fees and one of the fastest turnarounds in the industry, a company who will never skip town when it comes to honoring their warranty, windowsorustpittsburgh.com. That's windowsorustpittsburgh.com.
Looking for a new job? Coast to Coast Career Fairs and Word FM are hosting a free virtual job fair Wednesday through Friday, May 20th through the 22nd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Attend this virtual job fair from anywhere online. It's free for job seekers and open to the public. Connect virtually with
with dozens of good employers who are hiring in the Pittsburgh area. Virtual interviews available for a variety of positions. Wednesday, May 20th to Friday, May 22nd. Pre-register at c2cjobfairs.com. c2cjobfairs.com. Sponsored by Word FM.
Need to manage a changing workforce? It's time to get to know Express Employment Professionals. Visit expresspros.com to find one of over 830 locations to help support your workforce needs.
Washington County parents, you have a choice in your child's education. For nearly 40 years, Central Christian Academy in Houston is where pre-K through 8th grade students receive the comprehensive education they need to become top of the class. Learn more at ccaschool.com.
Trip to Europe. Visit all 30 Major League Baseball stadiums. Go skydiving. Okay, so you know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to Your Retirement Blueprint with Kurt Kenodic and Ethan Lane of Accurate Solutions Group Saturdays at 10 a.m. to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do the things you've always dreamt about doing in retirement. Listen every Saturday morning at 10 to Your Retirement Blueprint with Accurate Solutions Group. Investment advisory services offered through ASG Investment Management, LLC.
From John 17. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him.
I revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours.
My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me.
I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity, that the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Have a great night.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.